Good morning. It's Friday. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, affected, protected, elected. August 28th, 2020. I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Social Podcast Network. I hope everyone is surviving. What's going on? It's Friday, right? It's the day. It's the day we live for. Are you happy? Have you been thinking about this day quite a bit? I remember when I was I do hair now, but there was a time when I worked in the golf course industry, and I lived for Friday. All I could do was think about Friday. I hated my job. Friday would come. I had to work on Saturdays. I used to say I lived for Fridays and dreaded Mondays. But I had a job, right? That's what we're supposed to have, a job. Making money. Working for the man. I just think that was a funny phrase, working for the man. Man, I don't live for Fridays anymore. My favorite days, Mondays. I love Mondays. I used to hate Mondays because that was the first day back to that job that I actually hated. It's a bad existence. I hope people aren't going through that. I have a feeling some people are, though. Living for Fridays, dreading the Mondays. No strings attached. That is it's a great phrase. You owe me nothing in return. That's Alanis Morissette. What? I don't know if anybody ever checked that album out. It was a while back, but freaking deep, man. That chick wears her emotions on her sleeve. And I've always appreciated that about Alanis. I guess the point of that, mentioning that this morning is, you know, how many people out there, including myself, you know, are stuck. I'm not stuck anymore, but are stuck doing something they don't like doing. I mean, what's the fine line, right, between what we want and what we need to do? I mean, we can't do everything in our life. We can't do only the things that we like, right? We have to do some things that suck. Working's usually one of them. You know, I'm watching my son who's 15, and he's working. You know, he got his first job. You know, he starts getting that money. And you can see him, like, he's like, I work through my break to make extra money. I'm like, don't start getting obsessed with the money. You know, one of the funny, interesting things about my life for me is that, and I talked about it before, you know, I was adopted. You know, my mom, my Grandma Jean, great lady. You know, she, about a year, I don't know how long it's been. I'm so lost in my timetable, but, you know, she was having a bad headache and continued and continued, and we thought it was a tooth problem and we thought it was this and that. Turns out she had a form of rheumatoid arthritis. It's called like big cell or little cell rheumatoid arthritis, which basically attacks the vascular system of the eyes. I mean, she could see on Monday and she was blind by Friday. And I feel like I've had a headache for like 10 weeks. I feel like every day I have a headache. Is anybody else having a headache? I've talked to several people that have been having a headache. I don't know what it is. I can't imagine it's from this COVID thing. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a small version of it that just gives you a headache. But I feel like I've had a headache. But I think about, you know, my mom who's had this headache for so long, and then it turns out the headache was a symptom of the vascular condition that she was having that would later make her blind. So then I'm thinking, God, is this hereditary? Can she pass this on? Should I call the doctor and say, listen, I'm having the same headache as my mom? But the reality is I was adopted. You know, she's my mother, but she's not my birth mom. I mean, what would be the chances of me getting the same thing as her and not being related? And what she had is so rare, so I really don't think that's what I have. I don't, you know, we get a headache. Next thing you know, we have a tumor in my head. But the point of this was is that I was, you know, my son David, who is me. You know, I've said it before. I didn't feel I was. It's very interesting being adopted. You're very, you know, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother me. But inside, you know, it's like being dropped off at the mall and you're being left there, you know. And my son this morning was saying that, you know, he has been working. And we have we live at the beach. We live in a small beach community town. Our community beach town relies on summer. We have a ton of people. I mean, it's like the summer capital of the world, so to speak. I mean, I've heard that. I'm not sure if it's official. But we're a big, big-time summer town. And, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, I go, we're lucky in a sense that we're not as affected by what's going on in the rest of the world because we're a small little summer town. So, you know, it feels like business is fine. You know, we're obviously adjusting here as like everybody else, seating outside, yada, whatever it is they do. But we have a huge influx of people. One of the things that that the small businesses in this area rely on every year are foreign exchange students. A lot of foreign exchange students come here for the summer and work and then, you know, head back, I think, Ireland and wherever it is that they, you know, get to come from. But that didn't happen this year. We didn't have those kids to work. You know, we have a boardwalk and a fun land and, you know, you throw at the bottles and you eat funnel cake and you're eating ice cream and french fries and pizza. It's a, you know, it's a boardwalk. Games, rides, the whole nine yards. But they didn't have anybody to work. So a lot of these small businesses were desperate. We'll take what you got. We'll take a pulse, anybody. So my son, being 14, turning 15 2 days ago, applied for a work thing for, you know, under 15 or whatever it is. And they hired him. Bam, hired. Now, I don't know what the rules are. We have a unique situation this year because of the fact that there's nobody that, not only did we not get any the foreign kids that like to come over here and work, which we love, you know. But you also had a lot of people collecting unemployment. And listen, it's Friday, right? It's the day we live for. So this isn't the day we're going to point out all of our problems. But the fact is, Some people decide to take a little break. I don't blame you. You know? Whatever. Okay? So it really opened up opportunities for people like my son at 15 or 14 and almost 15 to get a job. And they're like, I'll do it. And he's been doing it. And he's not, he's been working a ton of hours. And so this morning he gets up. He had to be at work at 7. I decided I would drive him. You know, if I can give him a ride, I just put his bike on the back of the car and take him down. But he said, I think after this paycheck, I think I'm just going to quit. You know, school's getting ready to start. And I said, okay, that sounds good. Whatever you want. I go, sounds good, whatever you want. He's like, no. I'm asking for your guidance. I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, then if that's what you're asking for, I said, I would probably try to keep your job. I would maybe see if you can work a couple days a week. You know, the little kids, the young kids are, you know, Sam and Teresa, they're going back to elementary school and they're doing 5 days. Thank you, elementary school. And they're going to have aftercare. Thank you, aftercare. David, who is going to be in 10th grade, will be doing a modified version. So I think they're doing, I think there's like a group A, group B. Group A goes on Monday and Tuesday. Group B goes on Thursday and Friday, something like that. So he's really going to have 3 days. And I'm not sure what that's going to even look like. We'll have to just play it by ear. But I said, you know, why don't you, you know, tell him, listen, I'd like to work a couple days. But this 5 days a week, you know, that can't happen, obviously. And business slows down, you know, where he works down at the boardwalk. I don't know if they even keep that place open in the summer. I mean, in the winter, they have another location. But I know David does a nice job working there. So they're very pleased with him. You know, but and maybe it's just because he's young and he hasn't gotten cynical and he's, you know, he's bright-eyed and ready to take on the world. Maybe that's what they love about him. But you know, this morning he's like, I need your guidance. And I was like, oh. And so I gave him my suggestion. He says, that sounds like a good idea. You know, that is my son. And as much as my parents have always been there for me, but that just felt kind of cool to be asked to have an opinion on something that he's kind of working through. I don't have to tell him what to do. I can make a suggestion. I always say, I'm not your father, I'm your sponsor. I try to do a little of both. You know, I don't say, listen, man, you're going to be an alcoholic. Listen, man, you're going to be a drug addict. I say, listen, these are some of the things that I'm challenged with in my daily life of living today. You know, worry and stress. You know, it's always about putting in the work, recognizing where I'm at in a day or in a week or in a moment. And always knowing that if things become too tough, too overwhelming, that's usually a moment of consumed by self, and that's when I turn it over and pray. You know, I've always, my kids and I've always practiced prayer. We say a prayer every night together. Not as much, David doesn't come and get in on the prayer anymore, but it's always been, dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Not, dear God, fix this. Not, dear God, I want this. Recognizing I'm stressed and I'm turning it over. It's a silly little gesture. It's really, I mean, if you stood back and looked at it and said, yeah, just that, you just say that and that's it, that isn't going to fix anything. It does. It fixes stuff. It's surrendering the fact that I can't handle it. And I'm recognizing it and I'm saying it out loud and I'm turning it over. And I'm having faith that it'll work. And it does. You know, my younger son, Sammy, when he's still little, but when he was littler, smaller, younger, he had a lot of anxiety about school. He used to come to the first day of school and puke. You know, and it was always about not good enough, I'm not going to find any friends, my friends aren't moving up. It's just this basically the same shit we go through as an adult, You just hope by the time you're an adult, you understand what's going on and you can handle it. But as a kid, it wears you out. And I would tell him, let's pray about it. You know, people would say, maybe he needs to be on some sort of medication or see a psychologist. I'm like, I don't know. Why don't we try praying about it? And so him and I, when he would have anxiety, I would say, let's do this. And we would say, dear Lord, our shoulders aren't big enough. We're turning it over to you. Dear Lord, our shoulders aren't big enough. We're turning it over to you. And it fixed him, or at least helped him. We'll see. You know, if things like that keep popping up and we have to address it through a professional doctor or something, I'm always willing to do that. But a lot of problems that I have today, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of diagnosed stuff, is usually me not getting what I want. I mentioned before in the past on the podcast that, you know, I was diagnosed with bipolar and with depression. The depression was because I couldn't do drugs. The bipolar was probably me on drugs and then me off drugs. You know, the bipolar is alcoholism, you know. I always say, tell me I do a great job, I want to be the fucking president of the company. Tell me I do a bad job, and I want to jump off a bridge. That sounds pretty bipolar to me. But that's how it's always been with me. But listen, this program has taught me to take a look at that kind of stuff and recognize it and say, oh, you're not bipolar, you're just alcoholic. Or you're just a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And really, that lack of humility is what makes me surrender to those thoughts. Like, I'm the worst. Give up on that. You know you're not the worst. Let's take a look at it. Something's not going your way. You do tend to get a little extreme when situations like this happen. Let's pay attention. You know, there's always, you can always, there's the moment when you figure out what the problem is, and then there's the moment when you don't do anything about it. Right? That's tough. I was looking at a daily reflection. Can we get away with it? Don't tell anybody. Hey, you can follow me on my Instagram. I'm sorry about last night podcast. One, I think it is. I don't think there's many I'm sorry about last night podcast Instagram pages, but definitely follow me. Check it out. Just post when I post the episode. If you want to reach out, you can message me through that. You can follow all of our podcasts on the Social Podcast Network. Just friends hanging out. Just local friends podcasting. Check it out. Support them. But yeah, so today is the 28th. Lightening the burden. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us. I'm going to read that again. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us. The dark past is the key to life and happiness for others. There it is right there, right? That's like sponsoring, you know? Since I've been sober, I have been healed of many pains. Deceiving my partner, deserting my best friend, and spoiling my mother's hopes for my life. In each case, someone in the program told me of a similar problem, and I was able to share what happened to me. When my story was told, both of us got up with lighter hearts. I was at a meeting the other day, and this guy was telling me that, or this guy was sharing, he was saying that, you know, he'd been in the program, and it wasn't until he sponsored somebody, and they, you know, the program suggests, you know, go through the steps, get yourself straight, and then become a sponsor. And when I've sponsored a bunch of people. I'm not currently sponsoring anybody, but, I'm not sure if my sponsoring helped or hurt. But I did sponsor. But it wasn't until I sponsored, and just like this gentleman spoke about the other night, it wasn't until he sponsored someone did he start realizing how the program was really working, or how the program really worked, I guess I should say. And isn't that how everything in life is? It isn't until you teach someone how to do it, until you start to get that full understanding of how it works. And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, what that read is right there. And that's kind of like, you know, being a parent, raising your child, or being a sponsor to somebody. You know, when I sponsored a few guys when I first started sponsoring, and we went through the steps, and then trying to understand it and explain it, I was like, oh, you know, quietly going, oh, shit, that's how that works? Oh, I get it now. Very, very cool. I guess, are you helping people? Are you helping anybody out there today? I get, you know, every day that I'm sober is like, you know, and I've said this before, every day I'm sober is another day that I forget. You know, when I was in the, when I was sponsoring a guy a few years back, and we were deep in the book. I mean, reading it all the time, I was like, you know, just ask me anything. I'm just full of information, full of great sober thinking. But then he's like, you know, I don't need a sponsor anymore. Or I don't know what it was. And I'm like, you know, fine. And I'm not reading the book as much. I'm not, you know, sharing. I'm not trying to teach. I'm not trying to share my experience. I'm not trying to help somebody learn or understand. It kind of gets forgotten. You know, I was big on the seventh step. Love that whole, there's a meeting we were going to called Drop the Rock. It was basically on the sixth and seventh step, I think. And I was deep in it. I got it. I understood it. But to ask me about it today, I can't remember what the seventh step says. Turn our will and our lives over. What is the seventh step? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves. Let me see. Made a decision to turn our will. Maybe not. Let me type it. Seventh step. Seventh step. Let's see what it says. Huh. Where is it? Well, and that's why I loved it. The seventh step on the 12-step process of recovery, what is humility? The seventh step of Alcoholics Anonymous urges us to embrace the pursuit of humility as a fundamental aspect of staying sober. Humility is equally vital on the path towards a useful, happy life. And, you know, that's a great word, humility. I mean, basically, surrender. I quit. I give up. Nobody likes that word, though. Where is it? Can't I just get the seventh step, please? Oh, yep. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Yeah. I mean, that is, I've always said I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. You know, we love to blame it on the alcohol. We love to, you know, blame it on all the shit. The reality is I'm just, all I care about is what I want. What I want is what's important. At the expense of others, right? Family, friends. It's what I want. No humility. Well, listen. It's Friday. I started eating my snacks, damn it. I was like, don't eat the snacks. I ate them. I hope everyone's having a great day. It is Friday. And, you know, help out. Be there for the next person. Talk about prayer. Share your thoughts. Stay in the moment. Call somebody. Have you not reached out lately? You know, I got in a fight. I didn't do shit, actually. A friend of mine, 20-something years of program, got in a fight with my dad. And it was a year ago. It was at my son's birthday party a year ago. And my dad's a hard ass. He's a retired colonel, you know, Republican, you know, that whole, you know, Trump, I don't know. He's just, I think you grow up, I think at the end of your life, you're probably pretty much like that, you know. I've made it. Everybody else should. Nobody needs help. There's a fine balance, right? But, you know, he's pretty right. And my friend, who's pretty liberal, they got into it. And my dad, you know, my mom got sick. My dad's mellowed. I've had to use a lot of some of these principles from this program to try to give my dad guidance. The problem is my dad isn't an alcoholic. So it's not either. You don't, you know, for me, it's either die or work on this. For him, it's like, I'm not going to die. So what's the point of really working on this? But, you know, I've tried to incorporate some of the principles and some of the ideas that I've learned by being sober into his life. Because, you know, he's right now just going through a whole bunch of not getting what he wants. But prior to that even happening, my dad was pretty, he loved to argue, and him and I used to argue a ton. So my buddy got into an argument with my dad, stormed out. And, you know, I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't even there. And then my buddy showed up at my shop a couple days later, and I said, something must have happened. You must have said something to him. I didn't say anything. I'm not taking responsibility for this. Storms out of my shop, and he stormed out of my life. He's gone. He's like my best friend for 20 years. Stormed out. And part of me's like, you know what? This is a good friendship. 20 years is a good run, you know? But the other night when I went to that meeting, what was it, Wednesday, 2 days ago, I thought maybe I'll give him a call and see if he wants to go to a meeting with me. But I didn't. Because you know what? He's being an asshole. And I mean, you know, most of my life, 9 out of 10 times, I involved somehow. Like the cop said, I don't know what you did, but you did something. I didn't do anything. I wasn't even in the room. They were sitting out on the porch and got into it. I was cooking. So for him to come to my shop and you know, like mature people, you say, listen, man, like I always say, what part of this did I play? Where's the accountability? I mean, you did something. If it was even you showed up. You showed up, though. You did something. But he didn't want to have any accountability. My dad's an asshole is what he says. And there are times he is absolutely right. I've fought a ton of times with my dad. Him and I fought a lot. The last time we fought, I said, listen, I was storming out like usual. Fuck this bullshit. Storming out like usual. And I turned around and I said, listen, you're 80 years old. You don't have a lot of time left. Why can't we just try to get along and spend the rest of our short life that we have left, you know, enjoying ourselves? And we haven't fought since. And grateful for that. So I guess the point was I was going to reach out to somebody and I didn't. And if I was really, really, really working a great program, I'd have called him. But I'm not perfect. But I'm doing the best I can. Have a great day. You're wondering when my condition of
say that you have to skip town to chase your passion, and I'll hear it. You can even hit rock bottom, have a midlife crisis, and I'll hold it. And there are no strings attached. You owe me nothing for giving the love.
Have a great day, everybody. Peace. Bye-bye.